God. Amen? Amen. Let's stand just for a minute. Let's just pray and let's ask God to help us through the Scriptures today as we look at the Word of God. And before we actually pray, is there anyone that did not receive a set of notes with their bulletin today? If you lift your hand up, we'll make sure you get a set of notes. Anybody did not get a set of notes today? All right, looks like we've got everybody covered. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we do thank you for all that you've done for us in this great nation, Father God. And though there have been adversaries, though there have been those that would try to take our freedoms away, we thank you, Father God, that you are a God that is one to turn things around, Father God. You've made our nation free. You've made us a free people. I pray that we never take that freedom for granted, Father God, but that we value the freedom that you have for us so that we might be free to worship, free to share the gospel, free to tell others about Jesus Christ and that way of salvation. And Father God, we thank you for that. And as we approach the study of the Word of God in these next few minutes, Father God, I pray that you'd open up the eyes of our understanding to the Word of God, that you would help us never take for granted that we have Bibles and that we can open them up, that we can read them and we can study them unlike other nations in this world. And Father, we thank you for just building that into us and into our young people, Father God, the value upon your word and upon this freedom. Father, we thank you for it and give you praise in Jesus' name. And everybody said, amen. Amen. Praise God. Well, if you have a Bible with you, if you'd open it up to the book of Colossians chapter 1, I'm going to be breaking away from our series for today so that we can talk about freedom. I believe it's very appropriate that we talk about freedom. And of course, the most important kind of freedom is spiritual freedom that has been bought and paid for by the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. And so in the book of Colossians, if you can turn there, the first chapter, that's our text at the top of your notes. We're going to read our text and then we're going to launch off from there. Don't have anything complicated today. Have a very simple word today. But how many of you know the Bible talks about the simplicity that is in Christ? And many times we complicate things if we're not careful and people don't even understand it. But it's so important that we get back to the basics sometimes and we are reminded of all that God did for us. And the fact the Holy Spirit's touches upon it is going to make it fresh and make it come alive like maybe it hasn't in quite some time, so that we can appreciate the bloodshed some 2,000 years ago. We thank God for the bloodshed through our military, our armies, our navy, our marines, etc., so that we might remain free. But thank God even more for the blood of Jesus Christ that was shed some 2,000 years ago so that we might be free on the inside. Amen? Amen. And we're going to talk about some of that again today in Colossians chapter 1. And let's start reading. I want to start reading at verse 9, reading on through verse 13, even though 13 was our main text. Let's start at verse 9 of Colossians chapter 1. Everybody with me? It says, Paul says, by the Spirit of God, for this reason we also, since the day we heard it, do not cease to pray for you and to ask that you may be filled with the knowledge of His will in all wisdom and spiritual understanding, that you may walk worthy of the Lord, fully pleasing Him, being fruitful in every good work and increasing in the knowledge of God, strengthened with might. What a prayer, huh? We ought to pray for others this way. We ought to pray for ourselves in this way. This prayer, that we might be strengthened with all might, according to His glorious power, for all patience and long-suffering with joy. Verse 12, giving thanks to the Father who has qualified us. Thank God, God the Father has qualified us to be partakers of the inheritance of the saints in light. And aren't you glad you have an inheritance? Amen? That there was one who wrote out a will. And the one who wrote out the will is the Lord Jesus Christ. That's why your New Testament is called the last will and testament of our Lord Jesus Christ. Isn't that right? Many of your Bibles, New Testament, start with a title page like that. The last will and testament of our Lord Jesus Christ. The book of Hebrews tells us that this is a will. And in this will, we have an inheritance found. Thank God He has qualified us to receive the inheritance that was bought and paid for by the death of Jesus Christ. When He died, He left us an inheritance. Aren't you glad? And then He rose again to make sure we got it. Hallelujah, right? Now, He says again in verse 12, giving thanks to the Father who has qualified us to be partakers of the inheritance of the saints in light, He has delivered us. Notice again, this is past tense. He has already delivered us from the power of darkness and conveyed us, your translation might say, translated us into the kingdom of the Son of His love. Verse 14, in whom we have redemption through the blood, His blood, the forgiveness of sins. All right, now, I want to talk to you as you see the title of this message is Set Free by the Power of God. We want to talk about the power of God a little bit today because in our main text, verse 13, it says that we have been delivered. Say, I have been delivered. You may not feel delivered. You may not look delivered. You may not even necessarily believe you're delivered. But if you are in Christ, the Word of God, which is true, says that you have already been delivered from the powers of darkness and you've been conveyed or translated into another kingdom. Aren't you glad? Now, kingdom means king's domain. And so you've got a new king when you come to Christ. And you are under the dominion of a new king. And that king is the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Now, you'll notice in your notes some other ways of saying this. Other translations read this way. The analytical literal translation says of verse 13, who rescued us out of the dominion of the darkness and transferred us into the kingdom of the Son of His love. Notice the Amplified Bible. The Father has delivered and drawn us to Himself out of the control and the dominion of darkness and has transferred us into the kingdom of the Son of His love. I'm going to go back to that thought or one of those thoughts in just a couple of minutes. Notice the CEV, Contemporary English Version, reads this way. God rescued us from the dark power of Satan and brought us into the kingdom of His dear Son. Say, I've been rescued. Amen. If we're in Christ, we've been rescued from all the power, the dominion of darkness, or the dominion and power of Satan, as it brings out in the CEV. It says, God rescued us from the dark power of Satan. Now, in our introduction, we'll just read this quickly. This weekend, we're celebrating our country's freedom. Our independence from the tyranny of the British Empire was won by the courage, the dedication, and the blood shed for us. The blood shed or the blood of those who came before us. This morning, I'm going to remind you of the courage, dedication, and the blood shed for us by another one who came before us, of the Lord Jesus Christ. His courage, dedication, and blood brought eternal liberty. Aren't you glad for eternal liberty? For us, and it's of utmost importance that we be reminded of all He has done so we can reach out in faith and receive it into our lives. You know, the freest people, you know, there's men in prison, women in prison today, that even though they're imprisoned physically, they have come to Christ. There's great prison ministries bringing prisoners to Christ in various ways. Hopefully they're not just jailhouse conversions. I believe most of them are not. But there's many that come to Christ. And you know what? They may be in prison physically, but spiritually they are freer than anyone outside of prison who have not yet received that spiritual and eternal freedom that only comes through Christ. Amen? Amen. All right, now, let's go on with some of the things with this. Now, notice now, it says Roman numeral number 2, and I'm going to try to go through these things somewhat quickly. The Holy Spirit had His way earlier and ministered to people, but we believe we're going to be ministering some other things in a few minutes. Notice now, Roman numeral number 2, we have been delivered, rescued from Satan's power and dominion. Notice now, the word delivered from Colossians 1 verse 13 from our opening text means to draw or snatch from danger, rescue, deliver, of course. This is more, now notice that, this is more with the meaning of drawing to oneself than merely rescuing from someone or something. And so the Amplified depicts that or shows that. It says that the Father has delivered and drawn us to Himself. So you've not just been delivered, you've been drawn to Him. You've been joined to Him. As it is even shown us in Colossians 1:13, He didn't just deliver us, He also conveyed us, didn't He? We didn't only just get set free, we also were placed somewhere else. We were placed, really seated with Christ at the Father's right hand, according to Ephesians chapter 1 and 2. Isn't that right? And so we've been drawn to Him. That's been part of the rescue. He didn't leave us alone. He didn't just set us free and say, okay, fly off, you're on your own. No, He set us free and drew us to Himself and took us in His everlasting arms. Isn't that right? Amen. So that we might be safe. Praise God for that. Now, going on with this letter B, the word power here in the Greek means authority, dominion, power, and mastery. Note that word, mastery. So we have been delivered, rescued, drawn to God, out from under the authority, dominion, power, and the mastery. Out from under the mastery of Satan and darkness, haven't we? Now, turn with me, if you will, to Ephesians chapter 2, and let's read some things there in Ephesians. Ephesians, just before Colossians, first you have Philippians, then you have Ephesians. Ephesians chapter 2. Is everybody doing well? Celebrating freedom, real freedom, spiritual freedom, eternal freedom that comes through Jesus Christ. Ephesians chapter 2, beginning with verse 1. It says, "And you he made alive, who were," that's past tense, "who were dead in trespasses and sins." See, those that don't know Christ are dead spiritually, aren't they? But he has made those that have exercised faith alive, who were dead in trespasses and sins, in which you once walked according to the course of this world's system, you could say, according to the prince of the power of the air, that is referring to Satan, the prince of the power of the air, according to him, the spirit who now works in the sons of disobedience, among whom, verse 3, also, we all once conducted ourselves in the lust of our flesh, fulfilling the desires of the flesh and of the mind, and were by nature children of wrath, just as others. Then, of course, verse 4, but God, who is rich in mercy, because of his great love with which he loved us, even when we were dead in trespasses, made us alive together with Christ. By grace you have been saved. And so he tells us about our former state. He tells us about the way we once were. Those that don't know Christ are still in that state. They are walking according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air. They are by nature children of wrath. Or they have the wrath of God do them if they don't know Christ. That should cause us to have compassion and to have a desire to love people into the kingdom of God, to let them know, you know what? God loves you. God so loved us so richly that he has provided for the entire human race to be delivered from the powers of darkness and to be conveyed into a new kingdom, the kingdom of his dear son. Amen? It's not for a select few. It's for all who will receive it, right? For all who will receive it. Now, notice now. It says, with letter B, after that, Ephesians 2, 1 through 3, it mentions another passage, or another verse, 1 John 5:19. New King James says it this way, "We know that we are of God." It's in your notes, middle of the page. "We know that we are of God, and the whole world lies under the sway of the wicked one." That's speaking of those that do not know Christ. Those that have not made Jesus Christ the Lord of their life, they are under the sway of the wicked one, Satan, whether they realize it or not. Notice how it reads in the Amplified. "We know positively that we are of God and the whole world around us is under the power of the evil one." And then the Message Bible, which I really enjoy in this case, "We know that we are held firm by God." Say, "I'm held firm by God." We know that we are held firm by God. It's only the people of the world who continue in the grip of the evil one. And so whether people realize it or not, if they don't know Christ in a personal way, they are in the evil one's grip. They are swayed by Satan. They are walking according to the course of this world's age and system and according to the prince of the power of the air. They are under that power, are they not? They are under the mastery of Satan, and it's in various degrees. Some are very, very deeply under the mastery of Satan, and perhaps even into Satanism, and maybe even have somewhat of a possession by a demonic spirit. I've seen that when I was a missionary many times. Others may have less of the enemy's mastery in their lives. But everyone who doesn't know Christ to one extent or another has Satan as their master. That's why it's unbiblical, 100% unbiblical, for people to say, "Well, we're all the children of God." That's a lie. Jesus said to the Pharisees, "You are of your father, the devil," didn't he, in John chapter 8. Isn't that right? That's not popular. That's not politically correct. But that's what the Bible says. And Jesus is not concerned about being politically correct, is he? All right? We're either of the Heavenly Father, either Father God's our Father, or Satan is one's father if they've not made Jesus Lord. But the good news is that every human being can switch families. Amen? We can switch families, praise God, and be born of the Spirit and born anew spiritually and be delivered from the powers of darkness. All right? Now, going on with this. Now, Roman numeral number 3. God's power has triumphed over the power of the enemy. I want to talk to you about God's power. And there's going to be 3 areas of power I'm going to talk about. I could have included more, but I ran out of pages. You know, it's only page 1 and 2. So the first one, number one, is everybody following me on their notes? Number one is the power of the blood. Everybody say the blood. Oh, we never want to get away from the blood. Some preachers and some churches are getting away from talking about the blood. But without the blood of Jesus, there is no church. Without the blood of Jesus, there is no salvation. There is no deliverance or freedom without the blood of Jesus Christ. The blood shed for us is a token of His love. It's the deepest and widest expression of God's love for all of humanity, is that God's blood was shed for you and for me so that we could be free. God's blood. Not just ordinary blood, not just the blood of a human being, but God's blood. Acts chapter 20 and verse 32 says that God purchased us with His own blood. All right, let's look on with this. So number one is the power of the blood. Let's go to Isaiah chapter 59. We have time, I believe. Isaiah chapter 59. Isaiah 59, beginning with verse 1. Are you there? Isaiah 59, beginning with verse 1. Behold, the Lord's hand is not shortened that it cannot save. Aren't you glad? Nor His ear heavy that it cannot hear. God's not too busy for us. Aren't you glad? Then it says in verse 2, but your iniquities, that's sins, your iniquities or sins have separated you from your God, and your sins have hidden His face from you so that He will not hear. And the point that we bring out in the notes is this: sin separates us from God. Notice number one under this letter A. Notice what it says. God's justice and holiness demands a penalty for sin, doesn't it? And we know in Romans chapter 6, verse 23, it says the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ. Amen? The wages of sin is death, but the gift of God, the thing that you pay for, if you're going to pay for your own sin, it's going to be by way of death. It's going to be by way of eventually physical death and spiritual death. Death means separation. And so the wages of sin, the thing that sin will bring about, if it's going to have justice satisfied, if it's going to have God's holiness satisfied, sin must be judged through death. Right? And if we do not appropriate Christ's death and say and believe that Christ took our death for our sin, then we will die in our sins and pay the penalty for it ourselves with eternal death. But thank God, if we put our faith in Him, Jesus represented you. He represented me on that cross. He bore our sin, my sin, your sin, humanity's sin. How? Because He wasn't just a man, He was the God-man. The God-man can take all of humanity's sin and all of humanity's judgment, penalty, wages of sin, and He died because the wages of sin is death. And when we look to Him and we say, He was my substitute, and put our faith in that, then we are set free from eternal death. Aren't you glad? He paid the price for us. And we need to believe and pray for people and help people to know they don't have to die for their own sin. They don't have to pay the penalty for their own sin, because Jesus Christ, God, became flesh and took the penalty for their sin so they could be free. Amen. So there's no need for any human being to pay the penalty for their own because of God's grace and mercy. Amen. Amen. Now going on with this. Now notice Hebrews 2:9. Well, first it says in number 2 under what we just read, it says Jesus tasted death for everyone. Notice Hebrews 2:9 from the NIV. It says, but we see Jesus, who was made a little lower than the angels, now crowned with glory and honor because He suffered death, so that by the grace of God He might taste death for everyone. Not for a select few, not for some, but that He might taste death for everyone. Notice the Message Bible. What we do see is Jesus, made not quite as high as angels, and then through the experience of death, crowned so much higher than any angel with a glory bright with Eden's dawn light. In that death, by God's grace, He fully experienced death in every person's place. That makes it clear. In every person's place, he experienced death. Eternal separation from God. He took the wages of sin upon himself so that you and I could be forgiven. Isn't that fantastic? Is that not the wisdom of God? No human being or group of people could ever come up with a plan so wise as that. That's the divine intelligence of God who has come up with a plan such as this. Amen? Let's go to page 2 quickly, if you don't mind. Just flip that over. Only the blood of Jesus. We're talking about the blood. We're talking about the power of the blood. Only the blood of Jesus. I'm going to go through most of these quickly. Only the blood of Jesus can bring us forgiveness. Only the blood. Only the blood of Jesus can provide us with eternal life. Only the blood of Jesus can make us spiritually alive and therefore no longer dead in sin. Only the blood of Jesus, number 4, can wash us from our sins. Only the blood of Jesus can redeem or purchase us out from the power of sin. Number 6 is only the blood of Jesus can bring us near to God again. Remember we read in Isaiah 59:2, it says, "For your iniquities has separated you from the Lord your God." But the blood of Jesus has caused that separation to be erased, and now we can come near because of the blood. He was separated on the cross. He said, my God, why have you forsaken me? He took our sin, he took our judgment, and he took, even if it was just a moment of time, he took our separation where he said, my God, why have you forsaken me? So that we could boldly say, those of us who come to Christ, that he will never leave me, nor will he ever forsake me. Amen. He was separated, even if it was just for a moment, separated from the Father so that we could come near to the Father again, reconciled to God by the blood of Jesus Christ. You know what? If this is old news to us, it isn't real to us. This ought to be something that excites us no matter how many times we hear it. Only the blood of Jesus can set us free, number 7, from the power of sin. Not only forgive us of sin, but to set us free from the power of sin. In Romans chapter 6, I encourage you to read that passage. It's almost the whole chapter. It talks about having been made free from sin. We're made righteous now. Isn't that right? We become no longer slaves of sin, but slaves of righteousness now through Christ. So he has conquered the power of death. Remember, you have been delivered from the powers of darkness. Sin is amongst those powers of darkness. Isn't that right? And he set us free from the power of sin. And then number 8, only the blood of Jesus can set us free from the curse. It says in Galatians 3:13 that Christ has redeemed us from the curse of the law. Oh, thank God for the blood of Jesus Christ. Amen. And the power of that blood. Now, number 2, are you still with me? Now, we could go on and on with all of these things. But we just want to touch on these things. You take them. You read these scriptures. You take these notes. That's why I got notes for you, not PowerPoint. It's because I want you to take them. I want you to meditate. I want you to highlight them in your Bible. Underline them. Do whatever you need to do. Memorize them. Meditate upon them. Amen? Get them down on the inside of you. The next one, number 2, after the power of the blood, we've got the power of the name. Everybody say the name. The power of the name of Jesus. There's power in that name, is there not? And it's by the power of the name of Jesus that we appropriate the work that he did through his blood. Right? Through the power of the name. Notice the meaning of the name of Jesus. It says the name means Jehovah, our Savior and Deliverer. That's all in his name. So when you say concerning anything, in the name of Jesus, you are saying, in the name of Jehovah, our deliverer, our rescuer, our Savior. Isn't that right? Amen. Jehovah, our Savior and deliverer. Jehovah, the one who delivers, rescues, and sets free. That's all found in the name of Jesus, in the meaning of that name. Let her be his humility and obedience in the death of the cross has exalted his name. We've got to go to Philippians chapter 2, if you will. Philippians, the 2nd chapter. Philippians chapter 2. Are you getting anything out of this today? It's just a simple gospel, but yet so profound. Amen? Notice Philippians chapter 2. And begin with verse 5. It says this, Paul speaking by the Spirit of God. He says, "Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus, who being in the form of God did not consider it robbery to be equal with God, but made himself of no reputation, taking the form of a bondservant and coming in the likeness of man. And being found in appearance as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient to the point of death, even the death of the cross. Therefore," verse 9, "God also has highly exalted him and given him the name which is above every name. That at the name of Jesus, every knee should bow, of those in heaven and those on earth and those under the earth." How many of you know that? That means everybody. That means those that have gone on to be with heaven. That means the angels of heaven. That means, those that are on the earth, anybody living on the earth now, and those under the earth speaks of those that have gone to hell, speaks of those that are demonic spirits, or whatever the case may be. It covers the whole spectrum that they must confess that Jesus Christ is Lord. It says he's exalted him and given him a name that is above every other name. Notice number one under uppercase B there in the middle of page 2. Basically, it says this. Number one, the name of Jesus Christ is the greatest and highest name in the universe. There's no other name higher. There's no other name with more authority. Think about that. He is the Creator. We don't have time to go into all this, but Colossians 1 makes it clear that Jesus Christ, all things were created by Him and for Him, and without Him was not anything made that was made. And so the Creator of the universe, He is Jesus and has the highest and greatest name of all and the greatest authority of all. And He has delegated His name to you and I as believers so that we might invoke His name. The highest and greatest name of all time. Letter C, His authority is found in His name. When you invoke the name, you're invoking His authority. Do you believe the Creator of the universe has the most highest and greatest authority that there possibly could be? And He has given us His name. Mark chapter 16, verses 15 through 20, it says this, Jesus said to them, "Go ye into all the world, preach the gospel to every creature. He that believeth and is baptized shall be saved. He that does not believe will be damned." And then He says, "And these signs shall follow them that believe in My name. They shall cast out demons. In My name they shall take up serpents. In My name they'll speak with new tongues. In My name they'll lay hands on the sick, and the sick shall recover. In My name." In the name, or in the authority, by the authority. How many of you would agree when the ultimate authority, Jesus Christ, the Creator of the universe, says a demon must go, the demon must go? When the universal sovereign God, Jesus Christ, says to a sickness, it must go, that sickness has got to go. And when He said to use His name and you speak to demons, you speak to sickness, you speak to that mountain, you speak to that giant, and you command it to get out of the way and go in the name of Jesus, it's the same as God Almighty commanding it to go. It's the same. But we've got to get faith in that and believe God in that, because we tend to battle with doubt and unbelief. His authority is found in His name. Number one, when we invoke the name of Jesus, notice letter A, lowercase a, about the middle of the page. You with me? There is answer to the prayer of faith in the name of Jesus. He said in John 16, 23 and 24, He said, "In that day you shall ask the Father nothing," or "you shall ask Me nothing, but whatever you ask the Father in My name," He says, "ask the Father in My name, it shall be done unto you." Can you imagine? He gave us the right to use a name that is above every other name, whether it's in heaven, whether it's on the earth or under the earth, it's the greatest and highest name. He said, "Ask the Father in My name, and it will be done." Powerful principles. Powerful principles. There's answer to the prayer of faith in that name. Letter B, lowercase b, there is the power of healing released in that name. I'm going to come back to that, time permitting. Letter C, there is deliverance from demons in that name. You may say, well, I don't have any problems with demons. Well, you may have temptation. Every believer does, isn't that right? The Bible says that Satan is the tempter, and so you use the name. You use the Word of God. You use the name. Anything that's demonic, you can have authority through the name over it. It may be unforgiveness. Take authority. In the name of Jesus, I refuse to be bitter. In the name of Jesus, I refuse to be bound by anything that is the part of the powers of darkness. Are you hearing what I'm saying? Whatever it might be, you take authority in that name. In that name. Say, in that name. Now, the last one we can talk about. Now, I can't get into the power of the Spirit. We've been talking about the Holy Spirit more anyway. He would have been number four if we'd had time, but we ran out of pages too. Number three, the power of the Word. I'm going to let you read those. I'll give you the blanks. The letter G, the Word of God sanctifies the believer, makes him holy. Letter J, the Word of God brings joy and rejoicing. That's my life verse in Jeremiah 15:16. I consider that my life verse, where Jeremiah said, by the Spirit of God, I found your words and I did eat them, and they were unto me the joy and the rejoicing of my heart. I remember as a young Methodist boy getting taught the Word of God for the first time, and the Word of God became the joy and the rejoicing in my heart, and it changed my life forever. Instead of religion, I found out this is real. And the Word of God's been the joy and the rejoicing of my life ever since. Letter K, the power of the Word increases faith in Romans 10:17. Letter M, just giving you the blanks, you can read the others. The power of the Word brings spiritual nourishment to your spiritual life. Letter O, the power of the Word is the key to success. God told Joshua, this book of the law, or the Word of God, shall not depart from your eyes. Or he says, it shall not depart from your mouth. Don't stop saying it. Then he says, but meditate therein day and night, and observe that you might observe to do all that is written there. And then you shall make your way prosperous, and then you'll have good success. The Word of God, meditated on, getting down into our hearts. Is everybody doing all right? Letter Q, the power of the Word is a weapon in the time of temptation. Jesus said, in his time of temptation, it is written, and he spoke the Word of God. It was the sword of the Spirit. Letter R, finally. The Word of God, the power of the Word, is the power of God resulting in salvation. Did not Paul say by the Spirit of God, Romans 1:16, he said, for I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ. Why? The gospel is the Word, right? I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Christ because it is the power of God unto salvation. Amen? Amen. Now, I want you, I know you're folding your papers, but just go real quickly. We're going to close this. Go real quickly, if you don't mind, to Acts chapter 3. And you know what? I'd like the worship team to come, if they would. Acts chapter 3. We've got the power of the blood. Thank God for the blood. Amen. We've got the power of the name. We've got the power of the Word. If we'd had time, we could have talked about the power of the Spirit. Thank God for the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit indwells us. The Holy Spirit leads us and guides us. The Holy Spirit fills us up. The Holy Spirit teaches us and illuminates us. Amen. The Holy Spirit gives and imparts to us spiritual gifts. I mean, thank God for the power of the Holy Spirit as well. Amen. Notice now, in Acts chapter 3, I want you to look at this with me for a minute, and this will be the closing passage, then we're going to close this whole thing. Verse 1, now Peter and John went up together to the temple at the hour of prayer, the ninth hour, and a certain man lame from his mother's womb was carried, whom they laid daily at the gate of the temple, which is called Beautiful, to ask alms for those who enter the temple. Who seeing Peter and John about to go into the temple, asked for alms, and fixing his eyes on him with John, Peter said, look at us. So he gave them his attention, expecting to receive something from them. Then Peter said, silver and gold I do not have. But what I do have, I give you. He said, what do I have? What I do have, I'm going to give you. What did he have? In the name of Jesus Christ. Everybody say the name. In the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, rise up and walk. And he took him by the right hand and lifted him up, and immediately his feet and ankle bones received strength. So he, leaping up, stood and walked and entered the temple with them, walking, leaping, and praising God. And all the people saw him walking and praising God. Then they knew that it was he who sat begging alms at the beautiful gate of the temple, and they were filled with wonder and amazement at what had happened to him. Now as the lame man who was healed held on to Peter and John, all the people ran together to him in the porch, which is called Solomon's, greatly amazed. So then when Peter saw it, he responded, "People, men of Israel, why do you marvel at this? Or why look so intently at us, as though by our own power or godliness we had made this man walk? The God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, the God of our fathers, glorified his servant Jesus, whom you delivered up and denied in the presence of Pilate when he was determined to let him go. But you, verse 14, denied the Holy One and the just, and asked for a murderer to be granted to you, and killed the Prince of Life, whom God raised from the dead, of which we are witnesses, and his name, through faith in his name, has made this man strong, whom you see and know. Yes, the faith which comes through him has given him this perfect soundness in the presence of you all." What did he say healed that man? His name. And faith in his name. Because his name means his authority. And his authority goes unchallenged. Isn't that right? There's no greater authority. Would you stand with me this morning? Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Father God, we just thank you. We thank you, Father God, that we've been delivered from the powers of darkness. We thank you that in being delivered from the powers of darkness, we have been now conveyed into a new kingdom, the kingdom of God's dear Son. We thank you, Father, we're part of a new family. And Father God, I thank you for the power of the blood. The power of the blood that brings forgiveness. Only by the blood is one forgiven. Only by the blood is one set free. Only by the blood can one know that they have eternal life and are spiritually alive. It's all by the blood. By the blood. Jesus died our death so that we could be in the family of God and forgiven. With everyone in an attitude of worship and prayer, if you're here this morning and you'd say to me, "Pastor, I understand this better than ever before, and I want to make sure that I have eternal life. I want to make sure that Jesus Christ is the Lord of my life. I want my sins washed by the blood. I want to receive that forgiveness of my sin. The wages of sin is death. The wages of sin is death, but Jesus took your death. He took those wages so that you could be forgiven. The gift of God is eternal life," that scripture says. It's nothing you earn. It's nothing you could ever earn. It's something you receive, because a gift is something you just receive by the grace of Almighty God. And so if you're here today and you'd say, "Pastor Jay, I want to make sure that I have eternal life. I want to receive this Jesus who died and loved me so much. He died for me and gave his life and took my judgment upon himself so I could be forgiven. I want to pray with you." If you just lift your hand, just be so bold, have enough guts, say, "I'm going to lift my hand. I'm going to make Jesus the Lord of my life." I do see one fellow lifting his hand right now. Anybody else? You want to be sure that you've made Jesus the Lord of your life today. Maybe you've been backslid away from God. Maybe you're like that prodigal son. Maybe you realize there's things in your life that you need to receive forgiveness for. You need to confess, repent of, and receive that forgiveness. You know, his blood is good for the past, for the present, and future sin. Isn't that right? Amen. I know this fellow, so we're going to pray together right now. I'm not going to have him come up. I'll talk to him.